Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I have been around this neck of the woods for many, many years. And I love seeing what I see here. We'll get to the word of the Lord. I had a little difficulty this morning getting my notes transferred over to my iPad. They're supposed to do it automatically. Let's make a long story short. Next time you buy an Apple product, if it has two bites in the apple, I put one of them there. But we're so happy to be here. And what preaching we heard yesterday morning. Them two Idaho fellas, whoa, what preaching we heard. Man. And last night, it took me till before church this morning to forgive that preacher. Brother Pace beat me up so bad. I mean, there wasn't much left when he got done. But I went to him this morning and told him I forgave him. And so, what preaching? Boy, that's back to the basics, folks. That's back to the basics. That's back where it really is. It really is. And I just want to get into this for a little while today and see if I can leave a few more minutes with you. And today, can I do one of them old, dead, dull, boring Bible studies? Yeah. We're used to them around here. Man. Oh my, there's nothing like being an apostolic Pentecostal that loves the truth, loves the word of God. If I started naming all of my friends, I'd be in trouble. And if I have an enemy here, I'm going to give you a good ignoring. Amen. Praise God. That's what we need to do about the devil now is give him a good ignoring. Man, amen. Don't acknowledge him when he comes to church. I mean, if he really pops his head up and starts acting out, we got what it takes. We got what it takes. Amen. I'm going to read something a little unusual, and I'm going to deal with that just a little while, and then it's the same word I'm going to use, and that's why I'm using this to start with. But I want you to turn to Matthew 8:19. I've requested a reader today because we want an old-time Bible study with a reader, and Brother Jonathan Dudley's going to help me with the reading. But I want to get started here, and I will tell you that when I get to the main core of this little study, man, it's going to be New Birth 101. New Birth 101. We went back to prayer 101 last night. And so let's look at this. But let's get going here. Good to see all of you here. And I must decrease because someone's about to increase, and he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Man, and you're going to have some good preaching in a little while. Just bear with this old, dead, dull, boring Bible study right now. Matthew chapter 8, and there were a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man hath nowhere, not where, to lay his head. And then another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. We're going to start with the first little lesson is let the dead bury the dead. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, I need your help. I need your strength. God, I need you to help me. Lord, please come by here just long enough to touch us, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God bless you. May be seated. Amen. There are certain texts that I just have to look at and say, well, the Lord knew what he's talking about when he said it, so I'm going to leave that alone. And some of you already got this revelation, and you're going to look at me like, why didn't he know that by now? Well, I'm sorry, I didn't till last July. I didn't really dig around this scripture, why Jesus in his mission, Jesus on his way to fulfill his earthly commission was gathering disciples about him and those that would follow him. And he did not promise them anything rosy, anything comfortable. He described to them that it's going to be tough going from here to where I'm going. Are you really sure that you want to go with me? One man said, I tell you what, I want to go with you, but you let me stay here and bury my father first. There's no indication or scriptural reference that he was even dead yet. But he said to the Lord, you let me stay right here and let me bury my father, then I will go with you. Jesus just answered him very, very succinctly, and he said to him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Well, you know, it's foolish for us to conjure up a mental picture of a dead man burying another dead man. So that's evidently not what he meant. Now, if y'all know, you don't blow my cover here. This is revelation for me, all right, man. And so, when I went into an in-depth study of this, and I want to really use that word dead later on, but right now, to get a description of it, when he said, let the dead bury the dead, he was really saying to them, well, the Jews knew that they used this word dead, and they are a paradox here. One doesn't mean what the other one means, even though they are the same word. But in this setting, he said, let the dead bury the dead. And so in this, let me bring you this. The word dead is used in this passage in two different senses. It is apparently a paradox, but is suited to convey the very idea distinctly to the mind. The Jews use the word dead often to express indifference toward a thing, to show that a thing has no influence over us. Thus, to be dead to the world is to be dead to the law, but I'm not going there yet. Amen. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, let the dead bury the dead. Let those who are indifferent to what I'm doing, let those that what I do has no influence over them, give them a shovel, boys. They're going to stay here and bury the dead. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm in this place tonight. I'm glad today. I am glad that I am here. I'm glad I don't have a slacking spirit in me that's reluctant to follow him wherever he bids us to go. Hallelujah. But there are those that we preach to that sit on pews. Perhaps you're here. Ushers, you know where they store the shovels. Pass out the shovels after a while. There might be a few grave diggers in this house. But I'm here to tell you, amen, if you are indifferent to this, you just sit and let it slide by. Last night, yesterday, have no influence over you. You have no interest in what was being preached to you. You're the category I'm talking about. You get my first sermon today. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm greatly interested in what the work of God is doing. I really lit up when you stood up and interpreted for the brother from down in Panama. I love seeing those people standing back there. Hallelujah. I loved watching the youth and all of those pray during this week. There is nothing like this. I'm greatly influenced by it. Greatly influenced by it. Hallelujah. And I don't know, but I'm interested in the work of God. Are you sure you're interested in going where he's going to take us? Boys, it's going to be tough sledding from here to the end. You might as well get ready. Amen. Old brother Uncle George Anderson, that's Sister Westberg's brother. I got that right? No, it's Brother Westberg's sister. Brother Westberg's sister. Well, a few details. Evangelists can say it anyway. but he used to look at me and he'd say, you know, Tommy, he's talking about being tight in the service. He'd say, you know, Tommy, it's tough sledding when there ain't no snow. And I've been there. I've preached to entire churches that didn't seem totally interested in what I was trying to convey or trying to preach. How can you sit on these pews when we have been granted the greatest gift of God? A people who were no people. A people who are foreigners and strangers. Yet he has brought us nigh by the blood and put us in this house. Put us in his kingdom. I'm greatly interested in what he's doing today. I really care about what he's doing today. Tell me some more about what it. Preach me some more book. Bring me to the throne again. I live for this moment. I live for this time. Hallelujah. I'm not wanting to be indifferent toward this. I don't want anyone putting a shovel in my hand and saying, just wait right here. When they die, you bury them. But we're going on with Jesus. Boy, he's laid out a pattern for the rest of these. You just read on from there and see all the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, you just mark it down from this conference. We about to leave 1,999 feet. And I feel from the influence of this conference, we're going to see some revival. We're going to places we've never been. We're going to heights. We're going to see young people really live for God and really serve the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, all right. Be seated. Brother Reeder, get me Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. I know I told you Romans 6 a minute ago, but let's go here first. Man, I want to tell you, I want to transfer this over to this new birth experience. I just have it's just apparent to me how I want to say this without sounding negative. But you know, I just want to ask you, whatever happened to old-fashioned, old-time conversion? Whatever happened to when men came to an altar and repented? It was changed. They were a new man that walked away from that altar because of the depth of repentance. Repentance is a doctrine of this church. It's also a gift from God that He grants us repentance. But I want you to read. I want to use this analogy, Genesis 4 and verse 3. Read there.
And in process of time, it came to pass.
Yes.
That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth.
Read on. And
his countenance fell.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?
Now I want you to note this.
If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
I want to tell you something, Cain. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. And you brought the fruit of your own hands to the altar of God. This is just prefiguring and a type, I know. But he said, you know, you're downcast. You don't have the victory with what you gave. But Abel brought a blood sacrifice and presented to God. Now, he says this. This is not amazing, but this is it. Cain, if you didn't do well in your repentance and presentation to God, sin lieth at the door. Means it's crouching, it's waiting. I want to just tell you something basic. The depth of repentance at an altar has everything to do with how folks live for God. Those that don't have depth in their repentance and a cleansing of the heart and the changing of an individual who don't, if you will, bring blood to the altar, there's always sin that waits. There's always sin crouched, waiting. That sin knows because of the spirit of sin and the author of sin and of the devil. They know the depth of your repentance. You just mark it down when you go before God, like last evening. Get down on your face, cleanse it out, wash it out. And if you're new to this, when you repent before God and come into His kingdom, you get some depth in your repentance. This basic. But hey, let me tell you something. Much been said about elders, about Elder Westberg and Elder Picklesheimer. And it was just related to me, the story. And he had told me once, but I had to call and make sure a few weeks ago that I was getting most of the facts right. And so I called, I think Brother Collins, and I said, tell me again about the story of Brother Picklesheimer. He was quite an athlete. He was quite a marksman. He was quite the man. And he and she were married, and someone invited him to church, and he went to church, and he repented of his sins. A short time later, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, out in Southern California. But what I want to tell you is this. When Alan Picklesheimer repented, he repented. And when he left the world behind, he left the world behind. when he was done with sin, he was finished with sin. Sin that controlled him, took charge of him, it was over. It was over in such a way. I won't tell you this. The kids recently, his children recently found some letters that mom wrote. Now, Sister Elaine Picklesheimer, she was Sister Elaine Picklesheimer. We was up in Indiana one time, and he reached across the RV table to tell her, Elaine, I wouldn't know what it's like to wake up to ugly every morning. She looked at him and said, oh, it ain't so bad. She was a card. But in her letter writing, I think she wrote to her father, and she described that Brother Picklesheimer had went to church. What a drastic change. There's no television here. There's, what a drastic change happened in that house. And she would stand on the porch and watch him leave for church. She wasn't opposed to him being in the church, but she'd stand there and cry and watch him drive off. And she knew from day one, he's going to go to church. He's going to church. Amen. And she wrote and said, you know, Alan has changed. He's going to church. And I want to give you an exact quote, what she said. And she said, and there is nothing anybody can do about it. If Elaine couldn't do it, it ain't going to get done. The world's, I want folks to get an experience with God. So nobody can do a thing about it. I got it. I'm keeping it. I'm changed. What kind of experience do you have? I know the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track. I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. I ain't going back. I ain't going back. No way, Jose. That's a little Spanish for you. Hallelujah. I ain't interested in the world because I'm dead. Sin has no more influence. Sin has no more interest. Boy, y'all remind me to come back. I slip sometimes, but remind me to come back to that point. Man, you know, has no influence. Let's have some Bible. I said we're going to have a Bible study. Let's read from Romans 6. Mm-hmm. And here, just trailing right along what we're saying.
What shall we say then?
What we're going to say then. You need to read the previous chapter a little bit and come to it. But here we are. Shall we
continue in sin?
Continue in sin.
That grace may abound. That,
now read.
God forbid.
Boy, that God forbid.
Yes, sir.
You know, you got to catch that in. I think Elder Pace told us how the expression really was. God forbid. Right. A little old lady that I knew back there, she was from the West Coast, come to Ardmore, Oklahoma, and she testified. She testified on the plane how that the stewardess back then, when they had service, you know, said brought this cocktail to her on this platter and pointed at her, said, "Cocktail, madam?" And she said, "I told that stewardess," she said, "Why, mercy, no!" I think there ought to be some shock and awe in us when the world is offered to us.
Yeah.
There ought to be some. God forbid.
God forbid.
God forbid. Okay, read on.
How shall we that are dead to sin?
That we are what? That we are dead to sin.
Live any longer therein.
How are we going to live any longer therein? Let's stop right there. How are we who died at an altar, presented the right sacrifice and repentance, and we, how are we? We're dead. We're dead.
Right.
We're dead. It has no more influence
Amen.
Over us.
Right. Yes.
We have no more interest in it.
Right. Yes.
Okay, read some more.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into
Wait
Jesus
a minute.
Christ.
It don't say sprinkled.
Baptized.
It don't say into what? Not the Father, Son, and read.
Into Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him
we
by baptism.
We are buried with how many?
With him.
Is him a singular word? We're not buried with them in baptism. We're buried with him in baptism. Just him. Just him.
Yes.
Just him. I like what we do at home. Been doing it for 35, 40 years. And Pastor Burgess has been so kind to keep that going. But when somebody goes down in the water in Jesus' name, it's not like if y'all got time, come to the baptismal. We want everybody's attention when we come to the baptismal. Something, it's just as important as when they receive the Holy Ghost. Everybody pay attention. They're going down in Jesus' name. Charles Grisham taught us this long time ago, way back in the early 80s. He said the early church, he believed that everybody participated in the baptism. They're being baptized into our body.
All right.
Hallelujah. So when they go down in Jesus' name, and I mean they go down, we don't sprinkle them. Sometimes I feel like somebody ought to give them some mercy. They put them under till they bubble. Amen. Put them down in Jesus' name. Bury them.
Yes.
Bury them.
Yes.
Bury them with him.
Yes.
And when they come up out of the water, everybody in the congregation says with the preacher, in Jesus' name. They'll never forget what name was pronounced over them. This is New Birth 101. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. Talk to me some more about repentance. Talk to me some more about baptism. I love it, I love it, I love it. Therefore, read, sir.
That like as Christ was raised from the dead.
Yes.
By the glory of the Father.
Uh-huh.
Even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Uh-huh.
For if we have been planted together in
yes.
the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Knowing this.
That our old man.
The old man.
Is crucified.
Crucified.
Him, that the body of sin.
That the body of sin.
Might be destroyed.
Uh-huh.
That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Read the last one, 7.
For he that is dead.
He that is dead.
Is free
from sin. He that is dead. He that is dead.
Yes.
He that is dead.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes. Preach, Bishop.
Sin has no more influence over us.
Amen.
We have no more interest in sin.
That's right.
I'm going to say it now. We have no interest, young men, of the doodad hairdos and the fuzzy little whiskers. Can I name some more? We're not interested in that. Has no influence over us. We're not interested in sneaking out of the room after dark, going to rendezvous somewhere. Say, oh, it happens among us all the time. What's the matter? You know what? Some of you look at me like I'm a dawdling old fool. I ain't nobody's fool when it comes to this pastoring detail. I've caught sin in about every form and fashion you could think of. What'll make a preacher like me who I ain't into all this fishing like some of y'all are, but you know, me and Mama Jay back yonder in a certain place in Oklahoma, we decided one morning it was about 5 o'clock. We both woke up. Well, who wants to wake up at 5 o'clock? Except, boy, it's got to go milk cows. But we woke up, and she said, hey, let's go fishing. I said, let's go fishing. So we put the fishing poles, little old cheap Zebco 202s, put them in the trunk and headed out to the Lake Murray. And we drive out. I don't know why I'm telling all this. Man, maybe it'll help somebody.
Yeah.
Driving along, you know, come around this curve. And where we're supposed to make the curve this way, I went straight on. She said, "Why in the world are you coming this way?" I said, "I don't know." But right down in that, where that street squared off and went back the other way, was where the church secretary lived. Imagine that. And it's in the early wee hour of the morning. And just as I started to turn, I glanced over. Well, there was that man's best friend kissing his wife goodbye for the morning. You never know what pastor might be going fishing in the morning. You never know, but God will find you. God will find you. Read that over there. The watchman found me. The watchman found me. I'm going further than I need to go, but when you're dead in sin, man, amen. Romans 7 and 4.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ.
I won't elaborate much on that. Let's go on back to 6 and read verse 9.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more.
Uh-huh.
Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once.
This is the paradox. This is the other death.
But in that he liveth unto God.
Likewise.
Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
This is the way you do it. Go ahead.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
For
sin shall not have dominion over
you,
for you are not under the law, but under grace.
Oh, we're under grace. That lets us do anything we want to. We're under grace. Let me tell you something. The restrictions of grace are far greater than those of the law. It hath been said, if a man commit adultery, but I say unto you, it ain't the very act that I'm going to tell you about. He that looketh on a woman, grace is stronger. Grace is stronger. Woo! What are we going to do? We're not going to let sin have dominion over us. It's going to have no influence over me. Woo! I'm going to give it a good ignoring. You know, I'd like to think, and I choose to believe what I'm about to do. I'm sorry for picking on you. You're so tall, I love to make me look short. There's a little old sport Lexus out there. Man, when you put the hammer down, it'll smoke all four tires. If I gave you this at home, I'm not going to do it here, but at home, if I handed you these keys, said, "All right, bud, I trust you. I want you to go to the north side of Denver and pick up an item there for me. Now, I don't want you to do it in daylight. I want you to do it late in the evening. I want you to drive up there. Now, understand, Jacob, when you drive up there, you're going up I-25. And there's Colorado Boulevard. There's Colfax. That is a bad place. And off to your left, you're going to see this big stadium that sometimes when you drive by, it's roaring with people and sports games going in there. But you know what? I believe that you can drive through there and give it all a good ignoring. that has no influence. Boy, who's been sneaking off going to the sports games? I'll give them to you at home, all right? All right. I'd rather drive his car as mine. He's got, ooh, my goodness. But understand, here we are. To the young people that's here, and much of this has been so directed to you. I don't know why it is. I think we're getting some folks ready for the harvest that's coming. But they can't be part-time living for God. As the old Indian mama said down in Oklahoma, said, oh, they come to church, they go out Saturday night, and they get drunk. Chief, get drunk. Pastor, when it comes Sunday morning, he hoop them up Jesus. I don't want young people to go out and party time, or anybody, and then come to church and play the part of a hypocrite. Oh no, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. Oh, let me just say this. Let me say this as an older senior citizen of this kingdom. We have got to come to the place with you folks where we trust you. Where we can hand you the keys and say, we don't believe that you're going to go participate. It has no influence over you. The prayer room you heard about last night, that'll create that in you. That'll bring you to that. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, if I had to preach my wife's funeral, I think I'd title it, She Wore No Ring. She didn't need to. She didn't have to. How's that? She acted like she was married. She didn't have to. I just threw that in. I get a little raise for that one, don't I? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You know, folks, I enjoy y'all so much. But oh, if I could just get us off of this lodging place we're on and show you it. Let's just do it right. Let's just do it right. Young people, don't get your style from the world. Learn to live for God strong, because you were buried with Him. You represent Him. You identified with Him. This wondrous, glorious message of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling, the new birth, if you will. Let's don't degrade it. Let's don't take it down and make it a laughing stock. Oh, when you sold out to Jesus, be sold out to Jesus. World, go on and do your thing. We're not interested. Have no interest in the world. You don't have any interest in the world? Quit dragging that junk into the church. Quit trying to persuade other young people. That's the way they ought to act and dress. Quit chanting their chants. Speak in their language. Pour it in the ears of those. Live for God. Live for Jesus. We fixing to go up the hill. We fixing to go up the mountain. Hallelujah. You going with me? He said. Well, we got no place to lay our head. We got no earthly residence here, really. Oh, you ready to go with us? You ready to do without? You ready? I got some more notes. I guess if it's Bible study, you ought to. I noticed that brother finished his notes last night. I'll try. Let's go to Ephesians 2:1. While he's going there, let me read you Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If you're his, you're crucified.
Yeah.
You're crucified. Oh my. That prayer meeting, that crucifixion prayer meeting, many of them dying daily, praying, take care of this flesh. Back home, it was known, but no one ever got to go there, that there's 40 acres belong to some church members. You see my old pastor with his hat and his Bible go through the woods and disappear. He had a private place up there, a big flat rock. This is the time of year he loved to go more than any. He lay on that flat rock with his Bible by the hour. Somebody mocked him one time and I got so mad I wanted to go to wherever it was, and I wanted to scratch somebody bald-headed. But they started mocking. They was trying to teach prayer.
Yeah.
Teach prayer. And by the way, I think I mentioned this yesterday. I read it, and Mama J is the one that's, I'm stealing this. But you know, when he said, "Lord, teach us to pray," he didn't say, "Teach us how to pray."
No.
He's teach us to pray. You don't know what you're saying, Bubba. I'll teach you to pray. Because prayer's the only way you're going to get through what you're going to go through. You're going to learn prayer. You're going to teach us to pray. Oh, listen, folks. I got to move on. Where was I at? Man, but he would lay up there in travail, and somebody made fun of his prayer meeting, saying, "Why you just lay around and say, oh, God, oh, Jesus?" That was basically his prayer. But the devil couldn't hear what he was saying, and some other devils couldn't either.
All right.
But he's praying. He's praying. I don't know how many Sunday nights when I was so wore out in some of those years, I was so tired and I had some physical conditions, and on a Sunday night, I'd be ready to go home and climb in the bed. And my sweet wife would say, "If you don't mind, I don't feel like I'm finished yet. You go rest. I'm going to go pray. I need this time by myself." Oh, when I walk by that old sanctuary door and I hear her groaning and crying, sometimes to 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning, and what I heard sounded like a crucifixion, sounded like a dying, I wanted to go get her sometimes and say, don't, but oh no, it's part of why I can stand here today. Some of you hear me. I'm going to tag on to last night. You need to find you a place where you can crucify that flesh. Die out, die out, die out. Now let's read, or I'll never get finished.
"And you hath he quickened who were dead in
trespasses." You, turn somebody and say, "You hath he quickened." That means he made you alive. Why you sit there like a deadhead for? Read, sir.
"Who were dead in trespasses and sin."
That's where you were. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You had no interest in the kingdom of God. Read on.
"Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world."
Uh-huh.
"According to the prince of the power of the air."
Mm-hmm.
"The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience."
Boy, would I like to preach a little while about that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That'll shut a church down. That'll shut a revival down. Crucify that spirit. Read on, read on.
"Among whom also we all had our conversation."
That's where we all were.
"In times past."
That was our lifestyle.
"In the lust of our flesh."
In the lust of our flesh.
"Fulfilling the desires of the flesh."
Uh-huh.
"And of the mind."
Yes.
"And were by nature the children of wrath."
It was just our nature to be the children of wrath.
"Even as others."
Even as others.
"But God."
But God.
"Who is rich in mercy."
Who is rich in mercy.
"For his great love wherewith he loved
us." Oh, God.
Even when. We were dead in sin.
Dead in sin. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Did we have some more there?
Hath quickened us together with Christ.
He's quickened us together with Christ.
By grace you are saved.
By grace are you saved.
And hath raised us up together.
Has raised us up together.
And made us sit together.
Sit together.
In heavenly places. In Christ Jesus.
Read the next verse. In the ages to come.
He might show the exceeding riches of his grace. In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
All his purpose was that in the ages to come, through his church, if we went to another verse, it would tell that now by the church, he's going to show the wisdom of God through the church. Through the church, he's raised us up. We're all here. Sin has no more dominion over us. We have no interest in sin. We have no interest in showing movies on Sunday night.
Right.
Nor shutting down for the NFL. We have no interest in it. We have, oh no. We are here to serve God. Sin hath no more dominion over us. I suppose I need to be closing. I hadn't watched and observed the time. But, man, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There is a death for sin. There is a death in sin. And there is a death to sin. I'm preaching mainly about the death to sin. Man, and I'm going to quit just briefly here. I'll be finished. So you can remain standing. Remain standing. Is anybody here disinterested? You couldn't wait till I got finished? You can't wait till, I'm assuming it's going to be Brother Pageant, that till he gets finished? Little old lady up in Indiana, her pastor just barely got his text read. I mean, she's older and all of that. She leans over there. They're both deaf. She leans over. She leans over to her partner there, her buddy, and says to her, said, "Somebody ought to tell him to ring off. He's been a-going forever." I hope that's not how you feel. Tell that preacher to ring off. He ain't got my number. Oh, yes, I got your number. And it's ringing loud and clear. Hallelujah. Die out, die out, die out, die out to sin. Die out to sin. There's a lot more there, but thank you for allowing me to bring you this old, dead, dull, boring Bible study. Thank you.